1 Corinthians 14, we'll read verses 20 and 21. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, when men of other tongues and other lips, or I'm sorry, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, simply asking that you would help us to listen to you, Father, not just in this moment, Lord, but always. Help us to open our ears, the ears that you've given us with this new man, to hear the Spirit as he leads, moves, directs, teaches us. Father, help us to hear you, we pray. Thank you for speaking to us. May we listen in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm a little selective about noise. I'm not too bothered by small little noises here and there. Well, Allie's kind of a light sleeper. I'm not necessarily a light sleeper. If I have the TV going in the background, I don't take naps very often now that I just think about it, but if the TV was on in the background, it wouldn't keep me awake. If the radio was on in the background, it wouldn't keep me awake very much. People talking kind of quietly, it wouldn't keep me awake. It's the, that kind of stuff, or the loud pops, those kinds of noises that, you know, even if they're not just extremely loud like a gunshot or something, those kind of things that kind of perk you up. Those are the things that can be distracting to me, not just when I sleep, but when I study or when I'm working or something like that. So I have these headphones. Probably a number of you might have some. I know Brother David does. He loaned me a pair before I got mine when we took our trip to England. And what they are is they're noise reducing. They're noise eliminating is what they claim to be. And I'll give you a little quick little, well, a little instructional on acoustic science, which I don't have any kind of knowledge in. But this is kind of a stylized representation of a sound wave or a waveform of sound. And what happens with these headphones that I have is, well, they cover over my ears. They're not just the ones that you just stuff inside of your eardrums or ear canals, but they go over your ears. And I have a microphone on either side. And what they do is they listen to the ambient noise. And depending on what that noise is, it has a little computer and a program and that sort of thing. And it puts that noise through an algorithm. And for each one of the sounds that's represented here by this sound wave, when it hears that sound and turns it into a wave, it produces a counter sound to it. An opposite sound, I guess you could say. For every peak of that wave that goes with its amplitude upward, it produces one perhaps downward of an equivalent, equivalent amplitude to the negative or to a different frequency that counters that. And for all intents and purposes, what it does is it neutralizes that sound wave. I don't begin to know exactly how it works past that. Other than to say when I put those on, it's muffled. And then I push a little button, and then all of a sudden it feels like a couple of little wet blankets have gone over my ears, and things are kind of silent. It's actually kind of claustrophobic at the beginning when you first try them, because it just feels strange. It's very effective. Any of you all remember when we used to do hearing tests back in elementary school, and they used to cart around that little soundproof booth that looked a lot like the refrigerators you weren't supposed to get into because they locked from the outside? They put you inside there and you put on the red and the blue, and you get inside there and all of a sudden it was dead silent, you know, and then you had boop, boop, you know, remember those? Some of you do. Yeah, that's what they're like, just smaller, more compact. They diminish the ambient noise around you and allow, well, the noise that you want to hear, the sound that you want to hear, the music, the audiobook, whatever it might be, to come through uninhibited by the sound that's around you. You might wonder why I'm bringing that up. We as people can be pretty effective at blocking sound for ourselves. You can turn to Acts chapter 7. Unfortunately, what we oftentimes do is we block out the wrong sounds. We block out the wrong noise, I guess you could say. We see that in actual literal practice in Acts chapter 7 and verse 54. This is when Stephen, that man of God, was preaching truth to the chief priests and elders, was explaining to them their wrongness and what they had done, their guilt in their dealings with Jesus. Called them stiff-necked, called them even the betrayers and the murderers of the Lord. And they were selective in what they chose to hear. When they heard these things, it says in verse 54, they were cut to the heart, as the word of God does. And they gnashed at him with their teeth. Jump down to verse 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. Now, if you can imagine what these ones did, it doesn't take a lot of effort to consider that they did this, yeah, you know, and they screamed or whatever they did as they were running towards him. Children have been doing this for generations. You can look in any kind of elementary school across the country and you will see kids doing this all the time. La, 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 you know, that sort of thing. Was that as loud out there as it was inside here? My apologies if it was. Kids have been doing that for generations, right? Because they don't want to hear something. And so you plug this up, and just in case anything should happen to slip between that little nanometer that's between your finger and the actual ear canal, well, you open up your face and you start saying nonsensical syllables, and it blocks out all of the word, right? All the sounds that come in. When we don't want to hear something, we won't hear it. Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 11. The prophet there is speaking to Israel and says, but they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. These ones didn't want to hear. The chief priests and elders that were being spoken to by Stephen, they didn't want to hear. These ones here that were being taught by Zechariah, they didn't want to hear. Oftentimes, honestly, oftentimes, we don't want to hear the things that the Lord says to us. And there are consequences that come from it. Great wrath, it says here from Zechariah. Sometimes it's not nearly that grand, right? Not nearly that, you know, fire and brimstone-ish, right? Sometimes it's just a little bit of separation of fellowship with the Lord that we sacrifice by not listening to him. I've told this story before when I was, I don't know how old I was when Dad's friend Brad Harris got married, but I was his ring bearer. And the girl who was the flower girl, we sat down after the wedding, I believe, and I went and sat down by her because she was my new friend. And Mom said, come sit with me here, baby. And I'm like, I'm going to sit by Nicole, you know. And, man, I felt bad. Not bad enough that I didn't sit by Nicole and go over and sit by Mom. But ever since then, it kind of twinged my heart just a little bit that I, you know, I gave up that minute because she was so sweet. She said, come sit by me, baby. And I'm like, mm-mm, I'm going to be over here. No big deal, stupid. I've since made up with Mom lots since then, you know. We put it behind us. But it was just that little moment, a little second where I just said, I prefer to sit with this person that I don't even know their whereabouts today. You know, great wrath can come, certainly. But sometimes it's just a small little loss of closeness that could have been there with the Lord if we had just allowed him to say to us what he wanted to say and perhaps what we didn't want to hear. You know, we don't literally go like this when the Lord is talking to us, right? But when we do that literally, when I do this, la, 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 what's the only thing that I'm hearing inside of this head of mine? Just my own voice. That's all that I'm hearing. Just my own voice. Blocking out everything else. It's loud when I cover my ears and I start just saying something. You know, when we choose to block out the things that the Lord wants to say to us, even subconsciously, just by habit, unintentionally perhaps, just because we're listening to other things, you know, oftentimes that voice that we hear is just ours. Sometimes it's just our own voice that we're listening to. When we're making big decisions, and small ones, I guess you could say, when we're making life-changing decisions, but just important decisions, and just as we're walking through life, we listen to that voice in our head sometimes, right? We listen to the voice that speaks in our heart. It's good to stop and assess what voice you're hearing. Is that just my voice that I'm hearing? Is that well, that's just me speaking to myself here. If it's just our voice that we're hearing, something might be amiss. It says to trust in the Lord with all your heart in Proverbs 3. And lean not on your own understanding. Don't just lean on your own rationale, because your own rationale might be amiss. Now, the Lord can teach you things, and we should remember what he's taught us in the past. And we should occupy ourselves and walk in this world based on what we've learned from him. But when we find that, hey, I'm just doing things on my own here, just kind of doing things by habit perhaps, or I'm making big decisions that aren't necessarily habitual decisions, but I'm dealing with things and I haven't stopped to understand and consider what voice exactly is leading me in these decisions. Is it just my own that I'm listening to? I know I've told the story multiple times, mentioned him. His name was Adam Brown. He was a Navy SEAL, early 2000s, I believe, he was gunned down. But before that, I mean, his life was a wreck. Got all tied up into drugs and that sort of thing, and the Lord got hold of his heart, and he gave his life to the Lord, and he became quite a success story. But he said that every time that he would pass by someone, he could recognize a drug dealer immediately from across the street. Maybe even just make eye contact, and the person would never even speak to him, but a voice would come up and say, come, come, come. And he said, and the drug was just calling me. And I wonder if when Adam Brown heard that, he says, it was a literal voice, I would hear it, and that person would never say a word. And I wonder if it wasn't his own voice that he heard, because that flesh is right there present, front and center with us all the time. And oftentimes our own voice, and the enemy will use our own voice to call us into something that isn't what the Lord would have us to do. Jesus said in John chapter 7 and verse 18, he who speaks from himself or from his own mind, his own rationale, his own specific flesh-based purpose and logic and ambition seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Now, certainly Jesus was talking about himself. He does seek the glory of his Father. That's what he sought the whole time that he was here. But that Christ is in us as well. That new man is within us. And that perfect new life is there present. And that new man seeks the glory of the Father within us. And we can listen. We can listen when he speaks to us. You might be thinking of what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, right? But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears or something that they need satisfied, they will heap up for themselves teachers, someone who will say to them what they want to hear, someone who will bring them along and agree. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And you know that happens today. Our voices and others will just speak loudly. This is what you have to do. This is what you should do. This is what everyone else is doing. This is what we're called to do. This is what you should do if you're going to be satisfied, if you're going to be happy, if you're going to be content, if you're going to be like everybody else, man, seeking life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness and all of these things. When the fact of the matter is, if it's not God's teaching, if it's not God's word, if it's not the Spirit that is moving it upon you, well, then, it's not going to bring you true joy, not going to bring you true satisfaction, not going to bring you true contentment, no matter how satisfying it is to that itch that you have in your ear. And to hang on to what isn't from him is to ignore that passage that we opened with. Do not be children in understanding, he says. In malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. Children listen to their impulses. Children follow after their own rationale. Children go after what seems to make sense for themselves in the moment. Children will see something on the floor, pick it up, and eat it. Okay? Children will sit and... We were at Judah's football game when he was like 8 years old, so Jaden was 7, 6, maybe younger than that. She came out from under the bleachers chewing on gum. We hadn't given her gum. She pulled it from underneath the from underneath the bleachers. That's what children do. That's what babies do. In malice be that way. When it comes to evil things, certainly be a child. Be uneducated in certain things. But when it comes to the things of God, man, may we be grown up. We need to be mature in understanding. Not listening to our voice, that fleshly voice. childlike voice that tells us to go this direction. Or listen to those voices that might sound a little bit stronger, smarter, and all those things saying, hey, come this direction. When we're making our choices, making our decisions, let's not block out everything but our own voices and those things that are outside. Let's not block out the things that the Lord's trying to put into our hearts and in our minds. Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and I'll start winding this down. Fortunately, we have a good noise canceller, a good set of headphones, I guess you could say. That's the Holy Spirit. He's excellent at reducing that noise for us. In Revelation 2 and 3, it speaks to those seven churches that, well, in a number of ways, they represent, assemblies today, the body of Christ, and different individuals inside of those assemblies and inside the body of Christ with different characteristics and different stages of growth and maturity. But in chapter 2 and verse 7, 11, 17, and 29, and then chapter 3 and verse 6, 13, and 22, we see the Lord Jesus himself say seven times the same thing to each one of these churches, regardless of what their maturity level was, regardless of where they were in their varying walks of faith. He says this in Revelation 2 and verse 7, the beginning part of that. You can apply that to verse 11 and to 17 and 29. He says it to all of them. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And saints, you have an ear. If you've believed in the Lord Jesus, you have the new man within you. And that new man, well, he gives you an ear to hear. And what this means when it says, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, that means the Spirit has something to say. It means that the Spirit is willing to speak to the child of God. And we know that the Spirit helps the child of God to hear what the Lord wants to be heard. The Spirit helps those ones to receive what the Lord is telling us. Back in 1 Corinthians, in the second chapter of that book, Paul says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, because we believed in Jesus. And he says, here it is. I will share it with you. He's ours. He's present. That new man is there, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us, spoken to us, taught to us, shared with us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The Spirit guides us in all truth, directs us into that truth, expounds the truth that the Lord wants for us, gives us understanding of the truth, and does so for all of God's people. If we want a deeper, closer fellowship with him, we seek the fullness of that. Seek the infilling of it. Ask him to fill us completely to overflowing and keep us that way. The Lord speaks to his people. And the law, it is written back in our text passage, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people. And he's done so through the generations. And he does so in a lot of different ways. Sometimes he doesn't use other men. Sometimes he speaks right to your heart directly. With men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people. But the problem is, yet for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. Saints, that's a sad thing, that the Lord will speak in so many various ways, clearly, powerfully, tenderly, and kindly, all of these things. And yet, for all that, so many will not hear. I like my noise-reducing headphones. I do. If they reduce the noise, I'm not going to put them on if they're not going to do something good for me. But if they keep out that unprofitable sound, that distracting sound, all of those things that will keep me from working, from resting, from relaxing, from whatever, man, if they'll do that, I'll use them and I will apply them. And sometimes, you know, when I put them on, I'll even go la, 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 la to see if they work. And you know, they do. They do hinder even my own voice, not perfectly and not ideally, but much better than if I take them off. I enjoy that. I put them on and I relax. You will keep him in perfect peace, Isaiah says, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts you in you. We don't just trust him just to protect us, just to work miracles on our part. We don't trust him just to put his hand on our car and keep us safe, to put his hand on our house to keep us safe. We don't trust him for these big miraculous things that we hope you'll just keep tragedy and catastrophe from befalling us. We trust him because he's willing to speak to us and lead us and teach us, even in the uncomfortable things, even in the unpleasant things, even in the things that we would just as soon put our hands over our ears in the flesh and go la, la, la. No, when we put on those headphones, listen to the Spirit and allow Him to hold out those other voices and to stave down our own voice and allow what needs to come in, His voice, to come in and speak to our minds and speak to our hearts, it is always peaceful, always restful, and always a blessing for us. Let's make it so that it's not only our voice that we hear, saints. Not only those voices that we hear on the outside that we listen to. I encourage you to listen to what the Lord is trying to tell you. Let Him hold out everything and speak to your heart precisely what He has for you to understand. And He will bless you in that every time.